Okay, let's pick up with the Gemara in Daf Samechei Amud Aleph. We're about four lines up from the bottom. We're at the very end of the line where it says Tani. What we had just finished doing was we presented the Shita of Rav, the Big Chiddush of Rav, that when you're basing the value for Keren, that's going to be based on the value of the Shas HaGneva. But for Kefal and Dalet V'Hei, that's going to be based on the Shas HaMad Bedin, the value of the item of the Shas HaMad Bedin when the case goes to court. Now, what we discovered was that they're really one of four possible cases in which Rav could be saying that Chiddush. Because clearly Rav is talking about a case where the item that you stole changed in value over the course of time. And so the question is, when you're going to be paying back for the item that you stole, when you compensate the Karen, so what's that going to be based on? The later value or the value of the item at the time that you stole? Or the same thing when it comes to the penalty fees, the kefal, the dalet v'hei, is that going to be based on the value of the item at the time of the Geneva, or at the time, or the later price when the case goes to court? So now what we said is, well, how did the item go up or down in value? There's one of four possible ways for an item to go up or down in value. Either the market value went up, or the market value went down, or the ganev invested in this item is fattening it up, let's say if it's an animal, and he causes it to go up in value, or if the ganev causes the animal to go down in value by debilitating it in some way, by overworking it or something. So now, we assumed that Rav was saying his chiddush in all four of those cases, and ultimately what we conclude is that Rav isn't really saying his chiddush in any of those except for one. That Rav is saying that in a case where the item starts off at a high price and goes down to a low price, so that's the case where we're going to say that Karen is going to be Kain Shaganav and Kevel Dal Hei Kishas Medvedin. How did the item change price? Not because the Ganav debilitated it, but because the market value changed. It started off as an expensive item and then it went down. That was what we said. So now, Tani Rav Chanina or Rav Chananya, the Suyul Rav. So Rav Chanina taught the following as a support to Rav. That if you take a look at the following Braisa, we have a support to Rav that emerges from this Braisa. What do you see in the Braisa? Braisa says as follows. Balabayas, Shatan, Tanis Ganav. If you have a Balabayas who claimed Tanis Ganav, who claimed that the item that was entrusted with him was stolen. Now, Balabayas is just, that's the case of the Pasuk refers to the person with whom the item is entrusted as the Baal HaBayis. So Baal HaBayis, Shatan, Tanis Ganav, Bebikadam, a Baal HaBayis, who was entrusted with an item, he claims that the item was stolen with regard to a Pikadam, with regard to something that was entrusted with him. And then, so let's come up with the case. We have Reuven who entrusts something, something with Shimon, and Reuven comes to pick it up from Shimon's house, and Shimon denies. He says, I don't have it. It was stolen by means of Geneva. Now, we're clearly going to be discussing a case of a Shomer Chinam because the case goes on and says, the Gemara goes on and says, V'nishba v'hoda. Then what happens is that he makes a Shvua. So Shimon makes a Shvua in court and Bezin saying that, yeah, in fact, this item was stolen. Now, that would pater him. Now, why would that pater him? That would pater him because he's a Shomer Chinam. If he'd be a Shomer Sacher, right, then that wouldn't help to say that the item was stolen. So the case is, Reuven entrusts something with Shimon. Shimon says that the item was stolen. So Shimon is taken to court. Shimon swears in court. He swears in Bezdin that the item was stolen. But then, Vahoda, then he admits. He admits that he lied. He lied under oath. The item was not really stolen. He actually has it. But then what happens is Ubo Edom. Edom come in. And they also testify that the item is actually in Shimon's possession. It was not stolen. Shimon has it. So what's the halakha in this case? So says the Gemara. Now remember, the reason this is going to be interesting is that number one, when we're dealing with compensation, so obviously if Shimon has the item, he's going to have to compensate for the item. The question is, what about the penalty fees? We know that when it comes to knas, if you're motive a knas, you're pater, right? If a person admits to something that would make him accountable to pay a knas. So we know that when he admits in Bezdin, he's pater. So now the question is, what about in this case? So says the Braisa, im achelo bo edim hoda, if Shimon admits to having the item, to having lied under oath, if he admits to that before witnesses walked in the door, so then, mishalim karen v'chomesh v'ashem. Then he's going to have to pay a karen, a chomesh, and an ashem. Now wait a second. He's going to have to pay a Karen. That means he's going to have to compensate for the item that he took. So either he's going to have to give it back, or if it doesn't exist, he's going to have to just replace it by paying the value of the item. A Chomesh is the 1/5 penalty fee of sorts that that we discuss in this in the parsha about swearing falsely, and we'll get to that in a second. The Asham, and he's also going to have to bring a carbon Asham, right? Because he swore falsely. So now the halach is, according to this opinion, is that what isn't he paying? He's paying Karen, he's paying Chomesh, but he's not paying Kefil. Why isn't he paying Kefil? Because this is considered to be Motiv Knas. Because the witnesses who came in to testify about him, well, they came in after he already admitted. So therefore it's considered Motiv Knas, and therefore he's going to be Pater. But he's still going to have to pay the Karen and the Chomesh. And then he's going to also have to bring a Karban Asham. The Imish Abo Edom Hodeh, but if after Edom already walked in and testified, if afterwards he already became liable because the Edom testified that he stole, that he has the item in his possession, and then he admitted it, well then, it's not considered Motiv Knas anymore. Mishal and Tushim Kefil, he is going to have to pay Kefil, the Asham, he's going to have to bring a Karban Asham. But what about the Chomesh now? Says the Braisa, the Asham, the Chomesh is subsumed under the Kefil. In other words, once he's paying the Kefil, that covers the Chomesh. He's not going to have to pay Chomesh. Dibre Rabbi Yaakov, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, so again, let's just put it together then. What's Rabbi Yaakov saying over here? Rabbi Yaakov is saying, in this case, where Reuben entrusts an item with Shimon. Shimon, when Reuben comes to pick it up, Shimon says it was stolen. Shimon is taken to court. He swears in court that the item was stolen. And then he admits that he lied under oath. So if he admitted that he actually has the item, and it wasn't really stolen, that he lied, so if he admitted before Edom walked in, so then that's Motiv Knas. He's not going to have to pay Kefil, but he is going to have to pay Karen and a Chomesh, and he's going to have to bring a Karban Asham. But if he admits only after Edom came in and already he was incriminated, so then he's going to have to pay Kefil, and he's going to have to bring a Karban Asham also because he lied under oath. But the Chomesh, he does not have to pay. Why not? Because that's subsumed under the Kefil. Now, why is it subsumed under Kefil? We're going to go through this in a little bit. That's because the Chomesh that we're discussing in this case is equivalent to the amount that he's paying as Kefil. And when the Chomesh, when the math works out that the Chomesh is equal to Kefil, Chomesh is literally a fifth, Kefil is double, and we're going to have to work out exactly how that's going to make sense. But the point is that when the Chomesh is equivalent to the amount of Kefil that he's paying, so then he does not have to do both. When he pays Kefil, within that, the Kefil accounts for the Chomesh. That's the opinion of Rav Yaakov. Now, the Chacham and the Chacham say, Berosho v'chamishi sav, that we have a v'chamishi sav, that's because they're not darshan the v'chamishi sav part right now. But the point is, if you take a look at the Parsha, there are really two Parshias in the Torah that discuss these halachas. One is in Vayikra Hei, and the other one is in Bamidbar Hei. Now, if you take a look in Vayikra Hei, where it discusses a person who steals, he swears falsely. So the pasuk says, if you take a look in Vayikra Hei Chav Dalet, it says, O mikol asher yishava alav lashaker, v'shilam oso b'rosho. So when you're dealing with a person who swears falsely, he's going to have to pay b'rosho v'chamishisav yosev alav, and also its fifth you have to add on to it. So what do you see from the pasuk? Say the chachamim, b'rosho v'chamishisav. Mammon amishtalim berosh, when you have mammon, when you have money that you're paying berosh at the head, meaning to say, when you have karen, when you're compensating with karen, then mosav chomesh. That's when you add on a one-fifth payment that's going to have to be paid when you stole the item. But mammon she'ein mishtalim berosh, but when you're not dealing only with money that's to be paid at the head. In other words, when you're not paying only Karen, why are you not only paying Karen? Because you're paying Kefil. So when you're not paying Karen alone, when you are also paying Kefil, ain mosav chomesh. Then you don't add on a chomesh. So what do the chomesh see from the pasuk? They say that you're not going to pay chomesh if you're paying Kefil. You will only pay chomesh if you're paying Karen. And therefore, the chum would hold they disagree with Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov told us that if he admits before they even walk in, then you pay a Karen Chomesh V'Asham. If he admits after they didn't walk in, then he's going to pay Kefil, and he's going to have to bring a Karban Asham, and the Chomesh is included in the Kefil. Okay, now what we're going to discuss in a second is Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein Chomesh V'Asham Mishtalim B'Makom Sheyesh Kefil. Rav Shimon says that Chomesh, Ein Chomesh V'Asham Mishtalim B'Makom Sheyesh Kefil. If there's Kefil being paid, then you don't pay a Chomesh, and you don't have to bring a Karban Asham. And we're going to see how he gets that from the Psukim. Okay, so then how does it come out then? According to Rabbi Yaakov, the only way that you're going to get out of paying paying chomesh is if you're paying kefil, where the kefil and the chomesh are equivalent amounts. So in a circumstance where if let's say Aiden come in and they testify, he lied under oath, he actually has the item, so then he's going to have to pay kefil, he's going to have to bring a karban asham, and when the chomesh and the kefil are equal, then the chomesh is included in the kefil. He doesn't have to pay a separate fee as chomesh. The chachamim disagree. The chachamim say, not really, any time that you're paying kefil, you don't pay chomesh, period. It doesn't make a difference how much the chomesh is worth. You're always, once you're paying kefil, you're not going to pay chomesh. Now, Rishon Bar Yochai says that actually, if you're paying kefil, not only are you not going to pay a chomesh, you're also not going to have to bring a carbon asham. So now, remember, the name of the game right now is to bring a support to Rav. We're trying to show from this brisa somehow that the idea of Karen Kein Shganav or kefil v'dal hekesh hasamad v'din. So it says the Gemara. So Katani Mias, so Lamaisa, what do you see from this brisa? That according to Yaakov, one of the things that we've learned is that the chomesh is accounted for, is subsumed under the kefil. That's Rabbi Yaakov's opinion. Now wait a second, how is it possible for that to be? And remember, we said that the case is going to be that it's accounted for by the kefil because they are equivalent amounts. When they are equivalent amounts, then the kefil covers the chomesh, and you don't have to pay both. So how do you have a case exactly where the chomesh, where the one-fifth is going to be equivalent to the double payment that you would be paying? How is that possible? If you want to tell me that we're dealing with a case where originally the item was worth 4, and then at the end it was also worth 4. So then wait a second, let's do the math. Would chomesh work out to be subsumed under the kefil, to be covered by the kefil because they're equivalent amounts? That's not true. How much would kefil be in this case? Well, if the item is worth 4, so Karen's going to be 4, and then kefil means that you're paying double, meaning you're paying an additional amount of the item's value. So then if the item is worth 4, then kefil is also going to be worth 4. So then kefila is arba'a, kefil is going to be 4. The chomesh, well, how much is 1/5 in this case? 1/5 of 4. Now you might say, you might do the 4 divided by 5. That's not how it works over here. Chomesh is going to be zuz, it's going to be 1 zuz. Why is that? So the simple understanding is that the chomesh that we're talking about is it's 1/5, what's called 1/5 milavar. What that means is that you take the 1/5 is supposed to be the amount of the based on the amount that you're paying at the end of the day, the net amount that you're paying, how much does this number reflect? So for example, if we're dealing with something that's worth $100, so 1/5 would be 20. So in other words, 1/5 of 100 would be 20, but that's not how it works over here, because we look at 1/5 of what the net sum that you're paying. So if you, in other words, at the end of the day, if I say 1/5 of 100 is 20, so then the amount that you're going to be paying is 100 plus 20, which is 120. Well, the 20 is not 1/5 of 120. So what we need is, what we're going to say is 1/5 is going to be, 1/5 in this case is going to be, let's say 25. Because when I do 100 plus 25, so 1/5 of 125 would be 25. So the chomesh has to be 1/5 of the amount of money that you're paying at the end of the day. So now, so in this case, when we're dealing with an item that started off as 4 and stayed as 4, so 1/5 is going to be what? Well, 1/5 is going to be 1. Okay, so now, so the kefil is going to be 4, the chomesh is going to be 1. Well, that's no good then. We need a case where kefil equals 1, so the case can't be where it's 4, where the item starts off as 4 and ends off as 4. So therefore, elolav. So rather, what is the case not where? Demei kar shavi arba, where the item was originally worth 4, ulubsof shavi zuz, and at the end it was worth 1 zuz. Now, how does that help us? Because what's going to be kefil? The kfeila zuza, because kefil is going to be 1 zuz. Now, wait a second. Why is kefil 1 zuz? What are we basing the price for kefil on? Well, originally it was worth 4, now it's worth 1. Well, kefil is being based on the later price. Kefil is based on the price of 1 zuz, the value of the item when it's later. So kefil is going to be 1 zuz. The chumshay, zuza, and the chomish is going to be a zuz. Why is chomish going to be a zuz? Because again, the 1/5 that we're calculating is not going to be based on the later price. It's going to be based on the earlier price of 4, which means that 1/5 is going to work out to be 1. Now wait a second, why do you base, so what we're saying is the kefil is going to be based on the later price of the item, and chomesh is going to be based on the earlier price, and that's because, remember, chomesh is always tacked on to the keren. If chomesh is tacked on to the keren, so whatever the keren value is, that's what we're going to base the chomesh value on. So keren is based on the original price. Chomesh is going to be based on the original price. Kevel is going to be based on the later price. So this is exactly Rav's Yisai. Rav told us that Karen is going to be based on the earlier price. Kevel, Dalde, is going to be based on the later price. That's exactly what seems to emerge from Rav Yaakov's point. So Almos, what do you see from here? Karen, Kintragana, Tashmi Kevel, Tashmi Dalvehe, Kishasam Adabidin. So you see from me that the Karen, the value for Karen is going to be based on the earlier price when he stole it. And the payments for Kevel or Dalvehe are going to be based on the later price when the case goes to court. So this seems to be a raya to Rav from Rav Yaakov. So again, what do we do over here? Rav Chanina or Rav Chanania is walking in to bring a raya to Rav, who says, Karen, Kintragana, Kevel, Dalvehe, Kishasam Adabidin. How do you see this? Well, there's a three-way machlokas tonight between Rav Yaakov, the Chacham, and Rav Shimon. What happens if a person is entrusted with an item, they swear falsely that it was stolen, then they admit, or rather, excuse me, let's not deal with that case, then they are incriminated, Adam walk in, they testify that they really have the item. What are they going to have to pay? So according to Yaakov, we said you pay kefil, and you have to bring a carbon asham, but you don't have to pay a chomesh because the chomesh, if when it's equivalent to kefil, is going to be subsumed under the kefil. But the Chachamim say, actually, anytime that you pay kefil, you don't pay chomesh. And Shem Bar Yochai says, well, anytime that you pay kefil, you're not going to pay chomesh, and you're also not going to bring a karban. So now, says the Gemara, what do you see from Rabbi Yaakov's opinion? You see that it's possible to have a case where kefil is equivalent to chomesh. How do you have such a case? Must be where the item starts off as 4 and goes down to 1. And in that case, kefil is going to be based on the later price. So kefil will come out to be 1 zuz. And a chomesh is going to be also a zuz because chomesh is going to be based on the earlier price, based on the Karen price. So you see, Karen came to Ganav and Teshu Mekev, Teshu Mekev, Dal Vey, Kishas Madabedin. So that's a raya to Rav. So Amar Rav, Rav says, actually, no. La Olam, Demei Kar Shavi Arba, really the cases where it's originally worth 4. You don't really have a good raya to Rav. Because the case could be where the item starts out as 4, Vashinami Shavi Arba, now it's also worth 4. But wait a second. I thought we said that if it starts off as 4 and ends off as 4, then you're not going to be able to have a case where kefil is equal to Karen. To kefil is going to be equal to the chomesh because they're both going to be based on the value of 4. So then kefil of 4 is going to be you're paying another 4, and chomesh is going to be 1. And chomesh is going to be and they're not going to be equivalent because chomesh is going to be 1 and the kefil is going to be 4. So the kakasha but that what you asked a question kefil adal of the chomesh izuza. So then I'll tell you how to get out of that kasha of where kefil is 4 and the chomesh is 1. No, I'll tell you how it's possible that when the item starts off as 4 and ends off as 4, I'll tell you how it's possible to have kefil and chomesh to be equivalent values. How so? Hakamaiskinan kigon shenishba. Over here, what are we talking about? Over here, for example, where he swore v'chazar v'nishba, and he went back and he swore again arba pa'amim. So he lied under oath many times. He lied under oath 4 times. V'hoda, and then ultimately he admitted. Now in that case, the Torah is telling you that you tack on a 1/5. When it says it's fifths. If the pasuk would say v'chamishiso, that would sound like it's single 1/5. But now that it says v'chamishisav with the yudvav at the end, that's like saying chamishisim shalom, which would be the plural fifths. So that sounds like it's possible to have payments for multiple fifths in one case. How is that possible? Because this guy lied under oath, he swore falsely 4 times, so you're going to have to calculate, he's going to have to pay a 1/5 for each time that he did, so 1/5 is going to work out to be a total of 4. So that's how it's possible to have kefil and chomesh to be equivalent values, and in this case, we're going to say that, yeah, when they're equivalent, Rav Yaakov is telling you, the chomesh is subsumed under the kefil. So you don't really have a raya to Rav. Okay, now, Amar Mar, we said in the Braisa, one of the things that we said is v'chacham momrim v'roshov v'chamishiso or v'chamishisov momen ha'mishtam v'rosh mosav chomesh momen she'mishtam v'rosh ein mosav chomesh. That's what the opinion of the Chacham. We said, we brought up the Chacham said that whenever you're paying kefil, you don't have to pay chomesh. If you're not paying kefil, if you're only paying karen, then you pay a chomesh. Now, says the Gemara, Aval Ashamaisi. So the implication, of course, according to the Chum is that the only thing that kefil patters you from, essentially, is chomesh. It does not patter you from Ashim. You would have to pay a carbon Ashim, as opposed to Rav Shimon, who we said that according to Rav Shimon, when once you're paying kefil, you don't have to pay chomesh, and you also don't have to bring a carbon Ashim. So says the Gemara, So Aval Ashamaisi. The implication is, but an Ashim you would bring. So Maishka Chomesh Dlo Mashalim, what's the difference that for Chomesh you don't pay? Tchsiv Berosho V'chamishisa. Because the Chacham clearly have they learn out from the Pasuk. When the Pasuk says Berosho v'chamishiso, then when you're dealing with Rosho, when you're dealing with the Keren, that's when you have chamishiso. But if you don't have only Rosho, if you also have Kefal, then you don't pay chamishiso. That's how they dash out the Pasuk. But says the Gemara, Asham na'im lo mishtam, you also shouldn't have to pay Asham. Why not? Because the Pasuk writes Berosho v'chamishiso. And the Pasuk is telling us you pay Karen and you pay Chomesh, and then the Pasuk goes down and says, Ve'es Hashemon, also the Asham. So, in other words, if you take a look in Vayikra Hey, the two Pesukim, Chav Dalet and Chav Hey, it says, when a person lies under oath, he swears falsely, Ve'shilam oso b'rosho, v'chamishisov yosef olav, la'asher hu lo yitnenu l'biyom Hashemeso, and then the Pasuk goes down and says, Ve'es Hashemon, yavi la'Hashem, and also it's Asham. So it sounds like Asham is tacked on to the Karen. So presumably then it should operate the same way the Chomesh is working. Whenever you're paying Karen only, then you pay Chomesh. If there's no Karen, you don't pay Chomesh. And similarly, whenever you're paying Karen, that's when you're bringing a Karban Hashem. If you're not paying Karen because you're also paying Kefal, then you don't have to bring a Karban Hashem. That's the Gemara's question on the Chacham. So says the Gemara, Amar the Charabana, the Rabbana would tell you, S, Paske Kra. S is the Torah's way of splitting up the Pasuk. So in other words, when the Pasuk, when we have Vayikra Hei Chav Dalet, that's where we have the Pasuk about Karen and Chomesh. And then the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Vayikra Hei Chav Hei, Ve'es Hashemo Yavil Hashem. So the word Es serves to break up the rules, that the rules for Hashem are different than the rules for Karen and Chomesh. Okay, or the rules for Chomesh. So that's why. Now the question is then, what about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we know, holds that if there is Kefal, then you don't have to pay Chomesh, and you also don't have to bring a Karban Hashem. So what do they do with this taina that the word ve'es should be breaking up the two psukim? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, ve'es, irve kra. It doesn't just say es in the pasuk, it says ve'es. The vav is a connector. So that mixes the two psukim together, that joins the two psukim so that the rules for Asham should be similar to the rules for Chomesh. So the Gemara says, well then what are the Rabbanim going to say back to that? That seems to be a pretty good point, that the vav should be connecting the two psukim, not breaking them up. For Rabbanan, Amar Dechad, Rabbanan would tell you, Lo lich to Rechmana, lo vav, v'lo es. Well, they'll come and say back to Shimon, they would say, well, if you were correct, that the Pasuk is trying to connect the two topics, the topic of payments of Chomesh, and also the being chayv to bring a Karban, if that were true, then why does the Pasuk bother saying the vav, and why does it bother saying the es? Just keep out the whole word, the es, and just continue. Hashem, oh, yavil Hashem. So clearly, if the Pasuk is putting in the Ve'ez, it's not to connect the two ideas, it's to break up the two ideas. So what's Rav Shimon going to say back to that? Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Amar Lecha, Rav Shimon will tell you, Es lo sagda lo kasav. No, 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 that's not an option. It's not an option. It's not sufficient to not write it. Meaning to say, you can't get away with not writing the word Es. Lafsuki ben Mamon Gavoa, the Mamon Head, in order to break up the topic of Mamon Gavoa, meaning the money that you paid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning to say the carbon that you're supposed to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mamon Head, it's the money that you pay to regular run-of-the-mill people. In other words, we have to break up the two topics. One topic is that when this person steals, he lies under oath, he has to pay a Karen and a Chomesh. Who is he paying that to? To the person that he stole from. And then the Pasuk tells you the rules for now, because he sinned, he lied, he swore falsely, so this fellow has to bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't mix the two rules together. There are two different rules. There's the rules for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the rules for the run-of-the-mill people on this world. So therefore, says the Gemara, Rav Shimon will tell you, therefore not having the word S in there at all is not an option. You can't do that. So Hilkach Asavav Irve Kra. So therefore I need the S in there to break up the two topics to show you that there's two different worlds. There's the world of payments to people, and then there's the world of what you're supposed to be doing as your responsibility towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then I still want to connect them to show you that the Asham is going to be dependent on whether you're paying a Karen. And the way that the Torah does it is that it puts a Vav in. So Hilkach Asavav Irvekra. And that's why, therefore, the Pasuk comes along and gives you the Vav to mix the two together, to join the two Pesukim. Okay, so just to summarize here, what happened? We had Rav's side. Rav told us that Karen Kinjaganav, Kevel V'dal Hekeshas Madvedin. Rav Chanina wanted to support Rav. He wanted to support Rav with this Braisa, where Rav Yaakov tells us that when a person swears falsely that an item was stolen, and then turns out he is found out to have been lying, so now he has to bring pay kefal, and he has to bring a karban hashem, but he does not have to pay chomesh because the chomesh is equivalent to the kefal, and that therefore it's assumed under the kefal. The question is, how do you have a case where kefal is equal to chomesh. So the assumption is it can't be where the item starts off as four and ends up as four. Must be where the item starts off as four, jumps down to one. Kefil is going to be, and therefore kefil is going to be double of the later value, which is going to be a one zuz, and the chomesh is going to be based on the earlier value, the karen part value, which would be four, and therefore that would work out to one, and that's how you have the case, and that would be a raya to rab that karen kinjaganav and kefil's kishas malavdin. Rava says no, that doesn't have to be the case. The case could be where the item starts off as four, ends up as four, and the reason that you're paying that kefil is equal to chomesh is just because this guy swore falsely repeatedly. He did it four times, so now there's four times of the chomesh that's going to have to pay, which works out to four. So once we brought up this braisa, there were three opinions in the braisa. There was Rav Yaakov's opinion, then the chachamim, and Rav Shimon bar Yochai. The chachamim were of the opinion that anytime you're paying kefil, you don't have to pay chomesh, but you would have to bring a karban asham. Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, no. Anytime that you're paying kefil, you don't have to pay chomesh, and you also don't have to bring a karban asham. Question is, where did the chachamim get their opinion from? Where does Rav Shimon bar Yochai get their opinion from? And so we worked through the psukim to say that according to the Chachamim, they say when it says Varoshova Chamishisa, so that links the Chomesh to the Karen. So therefore, when you pay Karen, you pay Chomesh. If there's no Karen alone because you're also paying Kefil, then you don't have to pay Chomesh. Why is an Asham in the mix? Because, why are the rules for Asham different? Because the Pasuk splits up the two topics by saying Ve'es Hashemo, by breaking up, and that's how it breaks up the rules of Chomesh from the rules of Asham. Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, no. The Ve'es is a connector, it's not something that joins, it's a connector, it's not something that breaks up the two psukim. Therefore, the rules for Asham are going to be just like the rules for Chomesh. If you're paying a Karen, then you also pay Chomesh, and you also bring an Asham. If you're not paying Karen alone because you're also bringing, because you're also paying Kefil, then you don't have to pay Chomesh, and you don't have to bring a carbon Asham. All right, let's hold here.